I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are strong. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up on Friday, we got Falcons preseason football. You believe it? I mean, seriously, like, we've been talking about, man, can't wait to get back to football, football, football.
I know, we say this all the time, but the older you get, and for you young people out there, you know, the older you get, the quicker and faster the year just seems to go. She was like, we're just wrapping things up in Philly. She was like, I was running for my life out of Lincoln Financial Field with my wife, trying to find an Uber, calling you, going, what the hell happened on that last play? Because I couldn't see it.
True.
Got blocked by the camera guy. And now here we are, ready to go back to work, man. Can't wait.
Yeah, I just, and the thing is, everything's so promising for our team, man. I mean, you know. We don't have, like, other teams' really big concerns. I mean, we got a quarterback. We got a good wide receiver. We got running backs. You know, it's like some teams go, well, I'm not sure. We're not one of those teams.
No, I mean, to me, it's just about the right guard position, who's winning that battle. A lot of guys now, the narrative has changed where it's not a slam dunk Fusco gets the job, which I don't know about that.
You
paid the guy $11 million and change to come over here. But we'll see about that. Maybe Schweitzer did learn some things. Look, we can all learn. Look. I could learn how to dunk, Carl. I'm never going to be able to do it, you know, because I don't have the requisite physical skills. I'm not sure he's a starting right guard in the NFL, but Dan Quinn's going to let that competition play out.
We'll get to our top three at six also coming up in about 15 minutes, and we're just going to give you some of the backstory on this because some guys have already hit us up and said, man, I heard you guys talking about some detectives. Here's the deal. First of all, Mike and I are not in trouble, okay? This is a TV show.
Now, I did have a sheriff's deputy show up once on the air to serve me papers, Carl, but that was a long time ago.
So it's called ATL Homicide, and we're always looking for fun things and cool things to watch. This just has a cool Atlanta vibe. It's stories that if you've lived here a long time, some of the stuff you've heard about.
Yeah, you'll remember, especially there's a lot of stories where they go to the media to help solve the case. And first off, these guys are charismatic guys, and you'll hear their story. And my wife turned me on to the show. It's on the network called TV One. But in studio coming up, you'll hear Vince Velasquez and David Quinn, who've been homicide detectives in Atlanta for years. And it's their stories which play out with reenactments on the show. We became big fans, and it's so Atlanta-centric, it's kind of neat because you'll recognize all the landmarks and all the spots.
Yeah, and they came in, and they were like just really cool guys. And listen, I think stuff like this that, you know, showcases Atlanta. Now, again, as they said, and they were very clear about this, and you'll hear it coming up. But, Mike, they were like, you know, with the victims and the families that have been, you know, involved in this stuff, we always try to point or at least put a light on that. You know, it's not like we're trying to be stars. They're not. This is more about the craziness and some of the things they've been a part of. So it's not as if they are demeaning the families who have been affected by some of the stuff that's taken place.
So you'll check that out, hear the conversation at the very least. I think one thing about us, when we turn you on to whether it's a product we endorse or a TV show, I think we're sending you in the right direction. So I think you'll dig it. So if you hadn't seen it yet, because like I said, if we like it, we like to think that you will like it as well, because the show is really well done.
Craig behind the glass today, Bo producing the show. Let's get to our top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, let's talk about these Falcons. Mike, we didn't mention it. I think we teased it. Maybe we didn't finish the story, but Angela Vitri, by the way, and his wife, Katie, they had a gender reveal at Falcons practice, and it was a Gatorade shower to reveal the gender of his second child.
Yes, had it been, I guess, pinkish or red Gatorade, it would have been a girl, but if it was blue, it's a boy, and he got dunked with a big two buckets full of blue Gatorade. So he's having a boy.
So congratulations to Andy and his wife, Katie. He's holding up a sign in the picture that has been posted that says, Baby LaVitri, number two, due the day after the Super Bowl.
Well, let's hope it's a double whammy in a good way for our man.
No doubt about it. So congratulations to Andy LaVitri. Meanwhile, Falcons on the field. Two things coming out of today's practice, at least one of them having to be about tack, which we'll get to in a minute. But Dan Quinn also talking about what he'd like to see on Friday today.
I want to make sure that we make the ball the priority. It's such a big emphasis for us. And then past that, we are really looking to see, you know, where our CT grades come out on some of the new players. And can they play in a style and fashion that we really want to.
Dan Quinn talking about the ball, and you'll hear him talk a lot about that throughout the course of the season. As far as Zach McKinley, here is Dan Quinn on tack, because rumor is he will be available and ready to play on Friday. Now, how much time does he see? How many snaps? We don't know.
He was good, and what I was looking for, like any guy coming back, is there any hesitancy? And he had none. And so that's what I was looking for, and he responded in the right way. And so he was kind of chomping at the bit to get back. We want to just make sure we're, in all instances, taking care of the guys the best way. So not
anything you're watching as we get to Friday with this Friday first preseason game?
Well, I mean, we talked about this last hour. Guys who were up at camp, a couple of fans were asking you and I when we were doing practice up on the side of the hill watching it with the fans. What's up with Ito Smith? You know, heard a lot about his game at Southern Miss, and he's been a little banged up, so kind of curious to see him get in the open field and kind of create some stuff. And then, of course, you know, special teams has got to be better. Who are these guys? The only way you make the team, if you're one of the 14 wide receivers not named Julio, Calvin, or Muhammad, this is the way you're going to make the squad. So we'll see that. And then also the depth at linebacker, because, you know, heaven forbid something happens. You know, we've got to make sure we've got some guys that can fill in and step up, you know, behind of, you know, Deion Jones and Devondre and Duke. So that's also a concern for me.
All right, man, more about the Falcons as we count down to the first preseason game.
Although there is a funny article, and we were having some fun with listeners going back and forth on Twitter, Julio Jones' interview with our buddy Vaughn McClure from ESPN.com, talking about how important it was for him and Matt to be on the same page down there in the red zone, and goes on to basically kind of say everything you and I were talking about over the course of the missed mini camp and OTA.
Yeah, and let me say this. You know, for what – Mike and I do, it really isn't. I don't care if I'm right. I'm going to tell you how I feel. It just so happened that we were right.
Well, we went round and round with a bunch of Julio fans, and we're all Falcon fans first, guys.
That's what it's about.
But, you know, asked about the reps. Julio says, hey, man, it's just the more you work something, the better you get. That's all it is. So that's why we were so adamant, why we were pulling our hair out before Julio and the Falcons came to their agreement. And now all is good. But Julio just basically confirming that, yeah, the work is important.
The work, yeah, and the reps is, you know, down there in the red zone. Hey, story number two is the Braves tonight, guys. They are back at it after splitting a day-night doubleheader. It is going to be our man, Folty, on the hill tonight, Mike. And again, I hope he's as efficient as Sean Newcomb was last night. Newcomb, six innings. He only gave up five hits, but it was one run for Sean, and he struck out six guys. Mm-hmm. He's been really good. Can Folty have that kind of start tonight?
Yep. Let's hope so. Tommy Malone goes, a former Met pitcher for the Nationals. But Folty, we asked Brian Jordan about it earlier. He says Newcomb is the guy he's probably got the most confidence in. And you saw that last night, a strong outing that was needed in the second part of the double dip. But let's see if Folty, because Folty was on fire before the All-Star break.
Man, he really was. Hey, as far as the Bravos, here is Brian Snicker talking about Newcomb, the job that he did last night, because they really needed that game last night. You didn't want to be down 2-0 in a four-game set. That was a day-night doubleheader for the makeup game.
You know, the kid went toe-to-toe with one of the best in the game. And, you know, I think historically probably coming off a near no-hitter is not a real good next outing. And, you know, after the homer, he settled in and just, man, battled his rear off.
That he did. Hey, tonight, and you mentioned this about the lineup now, Ender, who basically won the game for you last night with that triple, it was a two-run triple that gets Freeman and Mark Akis home. But he will not be in the lineup tonight, and I want you to hear Brian Snicker on how he thinks Ender is going to be for the rest of the season.
He's swinging the bat really well. He's worked hard. He's persevered. He's went through some tough times, and he stayed strong mentally. And it's good to see him, that how he's performed after battling through all that. And as you know, it started here a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. And I was as happy as I could be for him to get that hit.
Yeah, Malone or Maloney. Yeah, he is a left-hander, so you get Adam Duvall in left as a right-handed hitter. Ronald Acuna leads off. Ozzie, Freddie, Nick Markakis batting cleanup. Then Duvall, I mentioned Johan Camargo, because Dansby gets the night off tonight. Tyler Flowers behind the dish, and Charlie Culberson in the hot corner.
All right, big shout-out to our man Bazemore. Kent Bazemore stopped by. If you missed that interview, guys, go online at 929thegame.com. He's got his big charity event going on this weekend, the big golf tournament on Monday. So lots going on for Kent Bazemore, and he stopped by the studio today as well. Speaking of hoops, which brings us to story number three, the NCAA, and Mike Conte just talked a little bit about this maybe 15 minutes ago, adopting a sweeping series of policies and rule changes that it hopes will clean up college basketball. Now, it's going to take a lot more than this, but you got to start somewhere. And this has been, you know, the game itself engulfed with FBI investigations and other corruption over the past couple of years. So the significant changes are basically, guys, that you can hire an agent. And if you don't get drafted, you can go back to school.
Yeah, the Board of Governors and the Division I Board of Directors allowing elite, quote, elite high school basketball recruits and college players to be repped by agents who were certified by the NC2A.
Right.
Allowing eligible underclassmen to enter the NBA draft, Carl just reflected on. This is not the full McGilla that you and I talked about, but you and I always said, why don't we create a clearinghouse and, more importantly, a trust fund that the agents kick into? So guys could actually draw a stipend for basketball. Now, again, a little bit different for football because there's too many moving parts. But this is interesting. How is this not in violation of Title IX, though?
I don't know, Mike. Obviously, you remember that committee that they formed to look at all of these things and how they might correct or at least help college basketball grow in a better way. I think they probably looked into all of that. But this is the first, I think, of probably four or five different things that we're going to see change, not just this year. Maybe it's over the next 5 years with college basketball as they try to reinforce some of the rules that basically have not been reinforced. And to be honest with you, I think it's worse now than it's ever been.
No, you can't do the kind of stuff that Louisville was doing. That's a whole other kettle of fish. But as far as players and agents and how it will be governed, there's an article at ESPN.com. NBA TV is, or NBA.com's got an article, too. It's a lot of stuff because there's a lot of rules that have been overhauled, but they are kind of maybe more, I wouldn't say lax, but they're easing back on some of the enforcement on some of this as well, it sounds like.
Now, here's one thing that I think, you know, is important. We always talk about guys wanting to go back. So you go to school, maybe you leave early. Okay, maybe you're not a superstar in the league. Do you go back and get your education? So starting in August of 2019, Division I schools will be required to pay tuition, books, and fees for scholarship basketball players who leave and then return within 10 years to the same school to earn their first degree.
Nice.
So that's another part of this, Mike, and I think that's a, you know, we always talk about that, but we'll see where this goes.
At the end of the day, if you could get more guys to stick around for that second year, you know what I mean? And look, we're never going to get away from the one and dones. That's not going away. But this is maybe a reason or a way to get some of those guys. What would you rather be, Carl? A potential second round draft pick who's going to wind up playing in the D League or Europe? Or you want to go back to college, work on your game, and maybe you pump yourself back in the first round?
Yeah, obviously that's where you want to be. I mean, there are some situations like this year where some of these guys were one and dones, but they didn't have it. You can't pass up the money that's being presented to you. We'll see how much this helps college basketball. NCAA announcing new college basketball policy. NBA, real quick, I don't know if I mentioned this as we were talking. The schedule's out for Christmas. That's kind of the day in which we start really paying attention to the NBA. Let's be honest, it starts in October, but it's football. 76ers at Boston or playing Boston. You also have OKC playing the Rockets, but everybody's talking about LeBron. The Lakers taking on Golden State.
And remember the Lakers general manager saying, we're not afraid of Golden State. We're not thinking about Golden State. Well, you're going to get a piece of Golden State on a big TV audience on Christmas. So
yeah.
Getting up on that.
So that's the schedule. The NBA releasing today.
Speaking of television, real quick, before we give away the $1,000 with our national signing bonus contest, I know not everybody has seen the first episode of the Cleveland Browns Hard Knocks, but Carl and I talked a lot about it earlier today. Some really interesting storylines, and you could argue, Carl, some dysfunction cropping up already on the coaching staff.
Well, you've got one former guy who's been a head coach and a guy who's come in now in Todd Haley, who I think wants to see things run a little bit differently than what Hugh is doing.
Yeah, you'll see. I don't want to give it all away. Let you guys check it out. And Jarvis Landry, some Dolphin fans or some Dolphin players might say he wasn't the same guy, but he sure shows leadership, at least in one episode of Hard Knocks, with the Browns.
Let's give you a chance to win money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
I dare you. Dare, D-A-R-E, I dare you.
All right, this is for millennials. You won't believe this. They had a corny commercial, Robert Conrad, an old TV actor. Remember when a wife beater with the battery on his shoulder? I dare you to knock the battery
I dare
out.
You.
Dare you, D-A-R-E, dare, gets texted to 72881. That's the final word for this day's competition. International signing bonus contest, dare, gets texted to 72881. We've given away $7,000 already.
Hey, man, we know we live in a big, wonderful city, but there are a lot of things that go on. And when the bad things happen, how do those crimes get solved? Am I building this up pretty
like
good?
That's like you're doing a promo. Very good.
How do those crimes get solved? ATL Homicides. These guys came in today, man. You're going to hear from these guys. David and Vince, as they stopped by. Really cool people. But more importantly, this show is really cool, too.
And this,
to
by
check
the way,
it out.
This wasn't like an ad agency or a promotion call. We actually wanted to get these guys on the show.
I put it out on the air yesterday.
Yeah, we love the show. I think you will, too. So check it out.
All right. That's coming up next. But right now, Mike, you know, you wonder when you watch shows, wonder if they're really as cool as they seem to be.
Right.
And these two guys are absolutely as cool as their show is. And if you're not familiar with it, here's the deal, guys. We love the A. It's all about representing the ATL. And these two gentlemen not only did it professionally for a long time, but now they're doing it through another medium, and that's television. Their new show, ATL Homicide, on TV One.
Right, and join us live in studio, former detectives for the APD. It's David Quinn, Vince Velasquez, live in studio. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Thank you for having us, Mike.
Now, we were joking around just off the air. Why do you even have to have actors playing you guys? Because it's not like you guys are in your 70s or anything, right? You just recently retired.
You know, okay, so I don't know that I could do as good a job as our guys did. David and I, you know, we have a lot of patience to work cases, but I don't know, we have a lot of patience to act out all the things
tight,
that they...
We needed some young skin on this game. Right,
like,
here,
if they so said cut, we'd probably leave.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, listen, and the show, but guys, if you're not familiar, again, this is based on real cases that these dudes solved, and the show kind of, you know, every hour, every show is about an hour long, but it showcases how this whole thing played out, and... Listen, this is not just, you know, who did it, all right, this is how it happened. There's some crazy twists that have happened to some of these cases. I mean, obviously, you guys, you lived it. This is real life. So, sure. I mean, as I'm watching it, it's playing out in my head like, wow, I would have never thought that. Obviously, there are a few cases that stand out in this. What can you talk about this season?
You know, this season is 12 episodes, and next Monday on August 13th will be episode 6. Mm-hmm. And these cases, every one of them, all the victims, no matter where they were from, we worked the cases the same way they're portrayed. They mattered. And that's one thing that was important to David and I, to make sure that when we, you know, it's not a portrayal of us. It's more so a portrayal and a representation of these victims. And Dave can chime in a little bit on, you know, how we got down and how we met and how we worked.
Well, what we do, our thing was all about love for the families. Mm-hmm. The families that get left behind. So when we came to the homicide unit in the year 2000, we made detective one day. The next day, they sent us to the homicide unit. Me and this cat, I see the brown brother over to my right. I'm like, yo, man, we need to get with this. These old cats don't know what's up. We loved them, but the bottom line was we smelled something different. We had to go out in these streets, embrace our community. And what we found out when we got out there, people love the way we incorporated the whole community into solving of the case. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have an episode on Monday night, 10 o'clock, 9 central on TV One. There's a case where we actually have the brother. He asked to go out and work the case the first 24 hours. We let him go do it.
Whenever
what?
You heard that
we
happen.
Let him go do it. You know,
we baptized him, basically, said, hey, listen, if we got nothing right now.
We
got
nothing.
No clues, nothing. So if you're saying you can go out and get us some information, do it.
Wow.
The old cats... At first, they were like, who are these young bucks? It was the year 2000, the millennial. Who are these kids coming in here telling us what's up? We love them, and we showed them it's all about the community and the protection of our witnesses. Witness cultivation is so important. You can't put folks on blast. Mm-hmm. They want the bad people out of the neighborhood. That's a misnomer about the no snitching.
Everybody wants to be safe.
Everybody wants their mama to walk in the store and get a loaf of bread.
You know, whether you pay taxes or you get money on the government dole, doesn't matter. You deserve to be safe. And I'll tell you a story that a lot of people don't know. It won't show in this series. Homicide detectives aren't usually promoted to homicide. Usually you go to burglary, you go to auto theft, you go somewhere else and you work your way up. We thought they made a mistake when they handed us these gold shields in 2000. I thought I was getting pranked. Like, I'm thinking, okay, this is a funny joke, right? Am I really promoted yet? I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to homicide.
Day watch.
This guy right here, we are working with the veterans. We're working with the legends of homicide. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, and of course, we're the new guys on the block, and you would have thought we had the plague. You couldn't get near us because people are like, oh, my God, those guys, they got the cooties. Get away from me, you know? Fast forward a couple years in, and me and this guy got it. We started, you know, understanding that, hey, man, we're in this together, right? I like this job. He likes his job. And we started to learn. We started to get better. And we soon found the veterans were coming to us asking us for help. And, I mean, how flattering was that?
We love those guys.
We found our calling. I mean, for us, me and this guy here never, not one day in our careers, took a test to get promoted. We stayed detectives. We could have been sergeants. Lieutenants, captains, who knows, chief of police, but we didn't want to.
We love
you
them
get promoted, mm-hmm. promoted, you leave the unit. Right. That's how much we like what we do.
And that's what really shows on the show, guys. If you hadn't seen it yet, ATL Homicide, again, we've got David and Vince who worked the streets here in Atlanta for years, and now one looks like he's semi-retired. We'll talk about what you guys have been doing since you left APD in a second. But it's that natural chemistry, you know, which I think, you know, we have it on our show, and you've got to have it in your job. Otherwise, if you don't like the guy you're working with, it obviously makes it a grind.
That's right. That's right. We are, I mean, we are who we are. Like, we didn't ask to be partners. And, you know, this is a story I think I told at either his retirement party or mine. And he's probably tired of hearing this. But, I mean, I think at some point in life, things happen. People come together. And you realize, you know, it's a gift, you know. And this guy, he's my brother. Like, this is
not, doubt.
You know, like, I don't know if our blood is really compatible, if I can donate to him. But that's my brother nonetheless. You know, I've got two kidneys, and if he needed one, he's got it.
It's done. David, now, both of you guys have your own specific skill set. Now, on the show, and I'm laughing at this because I'm like, you were the guy they said could talk your way into anything. You had people that didn't want to talk. You made them talk. You got stuff out of them. And Vince, you were a guy, was a tech guy maybe before. A lot of people were using the tech stuff to use and solve crimes.
Go ahead. He's the first. Vince was the first one in our unit to use cell phone technology. This brother arrived to work every day in a spaceship. I'm around the way, brother. You know what I mean? I'm a rumble tumble. I love the housing projects. I married a girl from Perry Homes, the biggest housing project in Georgia. I love that woman. And I'm saying that's what I'm from. I'm about them streets. Vinny, we brought that thing together because of the passion, the passion of serving our people in Atlanta. We love Atlanta. That's our city. You know, we got this new sister for a mayor. We love her. And we're trying to make sure people understand how we did it. TV One understood that we wanted to tell our story the way we tell our story. Nothing varnished or changed. They said, we're going to let you be who you are. Tell your own diaries. And that's what we did.
It's a great show, guys. That's why we're trying to help you to it. I think you guys trust our judgment. We try to turn you on to some new programming. TV One is the network. It is ATL Homicide. Talking with the detectives who basically star it. It's their live stories that are out there. How do you like the way it's come out? I mean, the finished product. How happy are you?
Lovely, lovely. I mean, we couldn't. We've seen the rough cuts. And, you know, the finished product is 10 times better than the rough cut. I mean, from the production quality to the sound to the acting, and everybody's acting, not just the guys that play us. I mean, to the bad guy actor and the witness actors. I think they did a really good job. And, you know, if you notice, we always try to include a real-life family member to show, you know, the devastation and show how serious this is. It's not about, you know, David and I, we are not about, like, it's not like we're patting ourselves on the back. We've never been that way. You know, one thing you mentioned, like, you know, he's the guy that can go out and, you know, charm the, you know, pants off of a polar bear. But at the same time, anybody we spoke to, and he mentioned that earlier, from the victim to the victim's family to the bad guy's family, we treat him with respect. So I think the show is a good representation of us. We have a hand in some of the production. We have a hand in the scripts. So we have a say. And it's important for us to have that say, and I think it's a good job so far.
All right, so, you know, from a TV standpoint, I'm watching and I'm going, there had to be times that you're on the verge of solving one of these cases and your life was in jeopardy. Was that ever the case where you track somebody down and all of a sudden now it's real?
Yeah. Those doors were real, bro. I mean, it was sometimes, and with the grace of God, you know, me and Vince knocked on some doors where things could have went other ways, but we love our people, and it was always someone on the other side of that door to talk sense into the fool that might have been doing something stupid. We embraced our homicide investigations community. If you're a homicide detective in America, you've got to embrace community. It's not ego. You got to put your ego on the shelf because cops have egos. You know, when that brother of our victim comes up and says, I can find out what happened in this case on my brother that got killed, we're like, what? But, you know, let's take a chance on this. Mm-hmm. Let's take a flyer on this guy and see what happens. If you watch the show on Monday, you'll see actually what happened.
You know, let me add to that. I got a really quick, funny story. Right before he retired, we knock on a door with another detective. And we open the door. There's like an AK-47 leaning up. There's some music playing. We go into another room. There's a gun on the table. So, you know, we're pulling our guns out, you know. So imagine these three old guys, right, like stepping through this kitchen. We look back at this other guy. I won't mention his name because we love him to death. And he's doing the one-legged hop trying to get this little 38 off of his ankle. So we're like, pause, hold up, stop. Everybody, let's back out of here. I'm like, bro, can you get this gun out? Can you get it out? I mean, come on. We're about to get shot here, over here.
It took so long for them to get it out, them jokers jumped out the window and left all
they
the shoppers.
They left
there,
all man. The dope. They left. You know, we were there for a homicide warrant. They,
you know what I mean?
You know,
thank God.
There's a burning cigarette in the ashtray. We're like, okay, you know. Sorry, guys. We're sorry we couldn't arrest you right now. We're waiting on our partner to get his gun out of his holster.
I just don't want it to get lost, though. The families, every family loses. The suspect's family and the family of our victim. We always encumbered those family members, even of the accused, with hospitality. We had open doors. Mm-hmm. First thing we would do when we had somebody as a suspect, go see his mama who raised him. Mama, your son, you know, he did this. we need to talk about this. And that way, you know, you unfortunately, she may have a son or a relative get killed years later, and you've established that relationship. We love Atlanta.
That's one of the episodes you just watched the other night where you find his remains and the kid, you know, made a few wrong turns, wasn't a bad kid, overtly got tied up in the drug trade. And, again, you're telling the human side of the story, yet obviously it still makes for great drama. And since Velasquez, David Quinn with us live in studio, guys, it is ATL Homicide is the show. Carl and I always joke around about this. From your experience, the husband always did it, right?
You know, one would think, you know, if you look. Actually, I don't know, the last episode, if you missed it, I won't ruin it for you, but there's a husband in this one, and I think two before that was a husband, and, you know, that's common sense, you know. Always got to look at the spouse, right. Always.
It's crazy, man. This show is really entertaining, but more importantly, guys, you know, and I think when the show started, I'm watching, you know, and it's like, I think it's your voice, Dave, and you're like, Atlanta has an underbelly. And I'm like, whoa, you know, you're capturing me right now. But there is, man. We love how this city has grown, what mm-hmm. it's become, what it is now. It's one of the, you know, it's an international city.
No,
all these TV shows, movies are being done here. There's so That's much right. going on. The music world, entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, this is the other part of it. And we live in a big city where real stuff happens.
We're
and,
a real city.
You
right,
know?
Right where we're at right now, stuff happens right here. People have no clue. Not far from where we're sitting today, mm-hmm. you know, homicide cases we've handled in the middle of Buckhead, the middle of downtown, midtown. It's not just, you know, the disenfranchised neighborhoods, you know. And are we safe? You know, for the most part, we're all safe, you know. But there's some real bad people out there. And people, you know, and you when you watch the series, you're going to see it goes from the spectrum. It goes from this side of the city to the other side of the city and all in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's check it out. Mondays. By the way, what are you guys doing now? I know you're retired, Vince.
I'm a consultant. I have my own consulting firm, do security consulting, have many clients, and then the show. Mm-hmm. And we're doing some other media adventures as well.
Okay, man.
And I'm just I actually consult with the city of Atlanta. I retired after 30 years.
Congrats.
And I'm there if they need me in a homicide unit to kind of, you know, mentor and help young detectives find their way. Other than that, we're looking for what's next, chapter 2, 3, and 4. That's what we're looking for.
Now, full disclosure, so, you know, Mike said this off the air, but he shared it on the air. My brother was in the military police officer. Mm-hmm. Mike's dad was a detective.
Awesome.
We have sponsored and been a part of, you know, Atlanta Police Department events, whether it's, you know, charity events, whatever.
Right.
We love the men and women who serve our city, but we appreciate what you guys are doing to put the message out there.
That means a
we
lot. Thank you.
That means a whole lot, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Well, don't be strangers, man. We'll get you in.
We'd love to be back.
Thanks for having us.
Talk some football.
By the way, first show in Atlanta to embrace you guys.
First show.
Right here.
2.9.
Right here.
The game. That's what's up.
Number one.
All right,
92.
Man.
92.9.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, in light of our buddies stopping by from ATL Homicide, your favorite cop show, whether it's drama, docudrama, or maybe it's silly. You know, tongue-in-cheek. I love Barney Miller as a kid. That reminded me of my dad's office in his precinct, although that was a comedy. But what's your favorite cop show? What's yours off the top of your head?
His was funny. So Sean, our underboss, came in during the break, and he was like, man, New York Undercover. And I had totally forgot about it.
It's been a while, yeah.
And, you know, New York Undercover, Malik Yoba starred in this, and everybody, it was like real grimy and street.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the show took off.
It was wire-ish.
Yeah, and then they asked for $3 million each, and the show got canceled.
Network said, sorry, no deal.
But no, New York Undercover was tight, right. But I'm thinking back. Hill Street Blues, man.
Yeah,
Hill Street Blues.
Love that as a kid, too, man. Some great stuff back in the day, but let's see what the guys have to say. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us for the game winner?
Hey, man. First of all, I love you guys, man, because you know what? I'm an Atlanta guy, 45 years old, and for you guys to have those true Atlanta heroes on the air, that was amazing. I can't wait to see this show.
Cool.
Growing up, you guys had me thinking. I was fortunate to grow up with all these shows, T.J. Hooker and Chips, eventually Miami Vice, but I absolutely loved seeing that beautiful red Gran Torino. I mean, come on, man.
Starsky and Hutch, baby. Yeah, man. I love Starsky and Hutch as a kid, man.
That was the show. I mean,
Bay City.
Again, that was one of those shows that just right. blew up, and everybody, I mean, again, we're right. talking, this is prior to having 800 channels.
Right. Carl and I, you would not imagine how much time we've had, whether it's on flights or just when we're at bars or something. I could write a thesis on how I would do a better job directing Miami Vice, the movie.
The movie.
Michael Mann developed the TV show, but the movie could have been so much better, man.
Jamie Foxx and
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Your favorite cop show?
Hey, man, I got to go with cool-ass Horatio Caine and CSI Miami.
Okay, I'm with that. I listen, did you watch that show at all? Craig, did you watch that show? No?
It was good.
Just didn't David Caruso seem a little cheesy, though, on that?
Well, he always seems cheesy.
Falls out of the window, lands on the pizza oven. I guess he wanted it extra crispy.
Yeah!
You know, there was always some corny kind of opening to it. But again, people enjoyed it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on TV all those years. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite cop show?
That's you. Yo.
You're killing the show, sir. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
It was only on the air for, I think, 3 seasons, but it was called Lie to Me with Tim Roth. It was a pretty good show, man. He used to look at the facial expressions of people, the little ticks people would make to figure out if they're lying or not,
okay,
figure out the crime.
Lie to Me. Man. Tim Roth, the English actor.
Yeah, he's actually good, but I don't remember that show. You guys remember that show?
He was the guy that watched it.
Lie to Me.
Network TV? Huh. Very interesting. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite cop show?
Hey, man. Yeah, man, I guess I'm not going to do it tongue-in-cheek. We got to protect the kids, man. My favorite one is to catch a predator.
To catch a predator.
Yeah, man, that's always so creepy, though. Watching that stuff.
Yeah,
hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Whether it's a docudrama, or it's just a good old fun show, what do you got?
Hey, man. It's got to be Columbo with that old MeoD Botany 500 trench coat on.
The lollipops, right?
That's Kojak.
Oh, Kojak, that's right.
Columbo, his thing was he would be leaving. You're the murderer. Columbo's asked you some questions, and you think he's done with you, and he walks out. One more thing. I asked you just a question. Your husband always wears those shoes, right? Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
And then he'd find the sole to get the matching print, and then he's got the murder victim. You know,
that's got a little freaky in it, by the way.
I happen to notice you're always smoking those cigars. What brand cigars do you smoke? And they'll find the cigar butts at the murder scene. He puts two and two together.
You're right.
You
know? Columbo. Now, Kojak was the ballhead lollipop guy.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
With his man Stavros driving around in the Oldsmobile. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, I'm going to have to go with Police Spy and go with Get Smart.
Get Smart.
Get Smart. That's not the right proper genre, Carl. I cannot accept that answer. You're on the radio, buddy. Your favorite cop show. What do you got?
You might not classify it as a cop show, but The Wire.
Yeah, I mean, technically.
No, it was, man.
It had the law enforcement episode. Well, who's the cop? Played by the English actor. The white guy. That's the cop component.
He
played the bad guy in the 300. Remember that? He was the guy that was like trying to stab Leonidas in the back in Sparta. You know the guy. What the hell is his name?
I'm looking right now because
Craig knows this. He was also in the movie Rockstar. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Look it up on the IMDb, for God's sakes. Sit here babbling like a moron. You're on the radio, buddy.
Dominic West?
Yes, bingo. What do you got for your favorite cop show?
Hey, man. Growing up as a kid, NYPD Blues, I can remember watching it with my parents late night. And then now I actually like Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck. That's pretty good.
Now, by the
Wahlberg's Brothers on
there. I've not really ever gotten into it, but obviously it's a big hit, man. People watch it.
People love Tom Selleck.
And speaking of that, they're bringing back Magnum P.I. Why are you making that face?
You can't mess with a classic. And you know, I read that review and I'm like, you know what? They have a politically correct Magnum P.I. now. Get out of here. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
We got the Mod Squad.
The Mod Squad.
That's a good one.
Link. That's what our underboss Sean looks like. He lets his hair grow out. Looks like Link.
Link.
Yeah, by the way, McNulty was the character that Dominic West played, by the way, in The Wire. Thanks for you guys bringing that up to us. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your favorite police show?
Hey, man.
All right.
Adam 12. Of course, Hill Street Blues. But my all-time favorite of all time of all TV shows is The Wire. It was the best.
Everybody loves The Wire, man.
5 seasons.
Idris Elba.
If you've never seen it, I would tell you to just go and binge watch it. And I guarantee you, by about the third episode, you'd be like, okay, I'm not going anywhere. It's really, really good.
Totally hooks you in. And all the levels, too. The political level, the street level, all
it's,
the things.
And basically, it's based in Baltimore,
right,
guys.
They're going on. Which now, when we find out, really wasn't that far from the truth. When you look at some of the stories that have come out of Baltimore. Hey, man, turn down your radio, man. What's your favorite police show?
Cagney and Lacey.
Time Daily.
Cagney and Lacey. Wow.
I think he's cracking wise. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Murder, She Wrote.
Hey, man, I like the streets of San Francisco.
The Who? Streets of San Francisco, Carl Malden and Michael Douglas.
Streets of San Francisco, okay.
Yeah, man, before Michael Douglas became a movie star.
Yeah, I'm with that. That was early in his early days.
Carl Malden. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
I like the streets of San Francisco, Carl Malden.
How about that?
Two in a row.
Jeremiah right there bringing it in. You're on the radio, amigo. What you got for us?
I got Barney Miller.
I mean, now, it's not a drama. Yeah. It's a comedy, Carl, and it really basically shows the average tedium and the day-to-day of a police, basically a detective office or a precinct, I should say, in New York City.
Yeah, it really wasn't about solving murders, but it was more about the characters in the precinct.
And you had Inspector Luger. What are you working, Bond? So if you're going to go back, my old man would be the Hal Linden character.
Are you surprised nobody said Chips?
I love Chips, Posh and John. And they always have good cameos, too. They always pull over celebrities and stuff on the road. Hey, you got...
Okay, for obvious reasons, and because I was going through puberty at the time, Charlie's Angels.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.